Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's sermon, based on the gospel text, especially focuses on this verse. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey. So far our text. Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey is usually associated with Palm Sunday. But it is also for the first Sunday in Advent. The psalmist says, behold, your king is coming to you. And Advent, means to come. So it's fitting that the beginning of the church year teaches us of the coming of Jesus Christ in this account. Advent is not just Christmas preparation. Advent isn't just preparing us for Jesus' birth. We don't celebrate your birthday with baby pictures, nor do we prepare for a birthday by remembering your mother's pregnancy. Your birthday is about you now, and it's the same for Jesus. Jesus is a grown man now, in fact, and he rules all of heaven and earth. His body that died on the cross was raised from the tomb and ascended on high. And from on high, he will come again out of the clouds to earth, bringing heaven with him. He is the king, and then he will fight. He will come to conquer the powers and principalities of this world in that day and deliver us. So we are waiting for the Savior to come. The Advent virtues of hope and peace and joy and love, represented by the candles on the wreath, these are the ways we wait for Jesus to come. They are preparation. These virtues are the way that we prepare our hearts for his coming. It is also important to remember in Advent that there are two manners in which Jesus comes. Two manners. He comes in humility, and he comes in power. And they are in that order. He came to us in the manger, in his earthly ministry, on a donkey into the holy city. He came in humility. He didn't come in force. He didn't come with swords and clubs. He didn't come with weapons of war, but with the weapon of preaching. The pulpit is mightier than the sword. Only the pulpit cannot stop evil men from attacking, and so preaching is a form of humility. Preaching is flanked not by soldiers, but by the willingness to suffer for the words and teachings Christ brings. That is coming in humility. God came first in humility, even in the beginning. When Adam sinned, he didn't immediately go up in a puff of smoke from God's wrath. When Adam sinned, he had time to hide from God. And God seeks him out, finds him, and asks, what have you done? Have you eaten the fruit of which I commanded you not to eat? A little later, when Cain murders his brother Abel, God asks him, where is your brother? His blood is crying to me from the ground. Does God not already know what Adam did, that he had to ask? Didn't God know Cain had already murdered his brother? Of course he did. But God comes in humility. He asked Adam what he had done so Adam would confess. He asked Cain where his brother was so he would repent. When Jesus first came into the world preaching, he did the same thing. He would ask people, who do you say that I am? Or if others would say, are you the Son of God? He would simply say, you have said so. It seems evasive, but there's a method to Jesus' madness. He's trying to extract confessions, not just confessions of sin, but confessions of doctrine from the lips. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Christ and the Savior. That is beyond dispute, though people can, of course, deny anything. But Jesus gets people to say it themselves, freely. Not out of fear, but at his humble invitation. He wants people to confess who he is, because whoever confesses with their mouth Jesus is Lord and believes in their heart will be saved. And that's the ministry of the Christian church. Preaching. Preaching unto a confession of Christ as Lord. The ministry of the church is not to conquer sickness, conquer poverty, conquer the culture, or control the government. The church was built and sent in humility, and her role is to preach. She is to preach in the hope that, in the face of and despite all resistance, she is to preach so that people might confess with their mouths Jesus is Lord and believe in their hearts that he rose from the dead and so be saved. This doctrine is true, and it saves by virtue of its being true. In that, it is a humble doctrine. There are no dazzling signs and wonders of power needed to prove it now. Only miracles of bread and wine, body and blood, water and washing of the Holy Spirit. Humble means through which comes a humble Christ. But don't mistake Jesus' lowliness for ignorance or for indifference or powerlessness. It is rather the way he shepherds his people to salvation. He knew what Adam did before he asked. He was paying attention while Cain was committing murder. And he knows all that is done in secret, though some might think they're getting away with it. Of them, St. Paul says in Romans, "Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and restraint and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" Someone might say if God were really paying attention, he would come more quickly. And we do pray for him to come quickly. But St. Peter reminds us the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Only through a humble Savior can the Holy Spirit produce repentance. Only a forgiving Savior will have loving disciples. He comes first in humility, because if he didn't, no one would be saved. But all the saints on earth and in heaven owe their salvation to this patience of God and this humility of our Savior. But Jesus will not always be humble towards a rebellious world. He won't tolerate evil forever. That would be evil. "Behold, your king is coming. He is righteous and holy, and he will judge the living and the dead. That day will be a terror to the wicked, but a redemption to those who have taken refuge in the Lord and have sought the Lord in the manner in which he wants to be found." Until that day, prepare yourselves by finding glory in his weakness, by exalting yourself in his shame, by taking pride in suffering in his name. In your joy, praise the Lord. In your dark night of the soul, shout Hosanna, save us. Do not despise the weakness of his coming, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes our understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.